If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula. 866-229-3663 or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
1, 2, 3, I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor,
doctor,
Mr. MD,
doctor.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we're going to do right here, right now on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network, and Magical Engineer Frank and I are ready to go. We're going to be talking about patients decline cancer screenings. The cancer screenings, I guess the, you know, bloom is off the rose, so to speak. We're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to be looking at some of the euthanasia laws getting a update, I guess is the word. And we'll see how much time we have for other things and a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. That's right. I'm hitting the knees and I'm seeking the Lord's face. Hope you are too. Mind the time, it grows short. Today's devotional, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, man of God, flee the evil things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And then in 1 Peter 4, and above all things, have reverent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Yeah, that fruit of the Spirit
is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Amen. Seek the Lord's face, my time, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right. Thanks, Frank. First up in the quack report, we've heard about the 5G, right? And some of the European countries are kind of like, you know, having second thoughts. Some of them have put, the brakes on. And the Swiss are one of them. They were totally embracing the 5G, but now health fears have many are putting pressure on officials to stop the construction of the 5G towers, the antenna. So they're putting it on ice for a little bit. Growing number of Swiss are voicing the alarm. Health effects are and the exposure from the electromagnetic rays really problem. So for now, no new antennas are being built, but there's nothing they can do about the antennas that are already there. They're being converted to the 5G, so they don't need authorization to convert those. It's already being done. So I just think it's going to all shake out, and we'll see where it goes. All right, moving on. Last but not least in the quack report, tap water. That's right. New study says, is your drinking water safe? This is from the Environmental Working Group. They did a peer review study published in the Journal of Helion on Thursday. They said they found 22 carcinogens commonly found in tap water, including your arsenic, uranium, and radium. They said the cumulative effect of drinking tap water like that for most of your life could create over 100,000 cancer cases in a lifespan. All right, so I guess, get that Berkey water filter going, or whatever filter you have that you think is going to be a good one, and filter that tap water. If you got a well, good for you. Just always check your tap water. Have it tested, your well water tested. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thanks, Frank. Okay, so first up in the quack report, first up in our first segment, I should say, we're going to talk about the patients that are declining cancer screenings. I, for one, would have no problem declining a cancer screening, but there's a report by the King's College in the UK, United Kingdom. They stated that under their free government-run healthcare, the National Health Service, that more patients are declining the invitation for the cancer screenings. And most Americans, they would understand not getting screened if, you had to pay for it out of pocket, get all those tests done. But in the countries that have the government healthcare, they've already paid for these tests through the garnishment of 20% of their paycheck to cover the free health care. So why are people in the UK saying no thanks to the free cancer screenings? They're already paid for. They've paid for them already. So let's check this out, right? Got to know why. See what's going on, because, what's across the pond could come here, so we got to check it out. Now, researchers are kind of dumbfounded by this. Yes, they are. According to the report by England's King's College and Queen Mary University, researchers were dumbfounded by their findings, which indicated only 35% of females, the female patients, accepted an invitation for the cancer screening. So the findings did get published in the September 2019 Journal of Medical Screening. So in the United Kingdom, females in their 60s are pretty much targeted for the cancer screenings. So by the time the British female has turned 65 years of age, she is really expected to have had 5 to 6 cancer screenings. And the screenings they want them to have are the cervical cancer screening. They have to have at least one. The breast cancer screening, have it every 3 years. And the bowel cancer screening, have one every 2 years. So, but you know what? Things aren't so kosher over there in their one-payer government-free healthcare system. Of course, nothing's free. So in the United Kingdom, the British people have gotten a bit skittish about getting free treatments, especially in the dental area. Now, you would probably say, what? You know, because they wait so long, get the long wait list, you know, they probably need to have some, you know, dental care. Why are they, you know, why are they saying, I don't think so? Well, the British people have to contend with a government-run system claiming they are committing health insurance fraud when they are eligible for the treatment. Now, how's that one for a flip, right? So it's become such a problem that the National Audit Office has been established to investigate the penalty notices with the fines that were sent out to 1.7 million citizens. Physicians, especially the dentists, are reporting that fear of being wrongly accused of insurance fraud has deterred patients from having treatments. Now, can you blame them, though? Really? British citizens are already taxed 20% of their pay for the health care overall, and getting treated can now cause them to be fined at least $150 or more. So what's even more disturbing is that the system seems to be targeting patients that are poor, who have disabilities, and have family members with dementia. That's kind of weird, right? What do you think of that, Frank? You know, the most vulnerable are getting attacked, right? Therefore, the patient appointments for the poor have fallen to a mere 25% of all treatments given nationwide. Yeah, for good. Frank's got a good question. How do you have fraud in a free system? Well, like I said, it's not free. They're paying for it. But, you know, what is this, a big government scam, you think? What do you think, Frank? You think it's a scam? You know, they paid for it once, got to pay for it twice. I don't know. How many times do you want to pay for your health care? Well, okay, so like I said, the patient, Frank's talking again. Okay, he's laughing. He says, of course it's a scam. Well, so we've got, of the healthcare, the poor segment of British people, the citizenry of the UK, the poor, all their appointments, you know, overall have fallen to a mere 25% of those appointments that are actually taken and filled. So the poor British citizens would rather deal with their own health matters themselves rather than to be falsely accused by the government and harassed by the debt collectors. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. The National Health Service hires a debt collection third party to go after them. Isn't that nice? Here is a quote from the British Dental Association and the BBC News Network. They said, there are some people who were wrongly accused of fraudulently claiming free treatment. End of quote. Ain't nothing free over there. Here's what Meg Hiller says. She's with the Public Account Committee over there in the UK. She says, this is not a system that is working as it should. The National Health Service must take urgent steps if it is to avoid causing unnecessary distress to patients who are tripped up by an overly complex system and who end up facing large penalty charges. End of quote. What are you talking about? Insult to injury. You know what I mean? Here is a quote from Charlotte Waite. She's with the British Dental Association. And she says, England has a system built on presumption of guilt, offers few warnings, and has left vulnerable patients harassed by debt collection agencies. What is worse is that the patients are intimidated into paying the fines rather than to contest them. End of quote. Wow. Talk about Guido. Right? Come get the money out of you. Well, Trish Costello, she's a UK citizen. She reports this. We were being accused of fraud, and when we called the number on the letter and explained the clerical error, the National Health Service said, no, no, you owe this money. Get out your credit card and pay it. She said, they really scared me, and we felt threatened by our government. Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at this. Is this like an extreme kickback, Frank? Let me just roll these numbers by you, see what you think. In the UK, during 2018, the National Health Service filed nearly 250 million in fraud accusations, and they collected more than 41 million. But of the original filing, 53 million were mistakenly charged and later resolved. So the government-run healthcare is riddled with this corruption, this fraud, this bribery in the billions of dollars. And the British people are robbed by government in their paychecks and then robbed again at the hand of the healthcare system. This is just outrageous. Can you imagine this being here in America, Frank? Outrageous. Frank says, yeah, they're extortionists. That's what they are. You know, talk about exploiting the people of the UK. So let's get back to why the women are saying no, okay? Getting back to why the women are not taking the invitation to get those free cancer screening tests. Well, the researchers found that a majority of these women who refused were poor. And I can see why they would pass on a non-essential treatment, because they could be accused of defrauding the system and bullied into paying for tests that they really didn't need and can't afford. Yeah, I know, Frank. I have the same fear that this could roll over onto the American shoreline, and we have the same problem. So this system is an exploited system, because the healthcare system in England has been exploited since its inception, and it's really on the brink of bankruptcy. We've talked about this in the past. Now, some citizens would get their physicians to write prescriptions for things like toilet paper, toothpaste, toothbrushes, birth control, and even foodstuffs, because it fell under the broad definition of healthcare. So the stores were obligated to take the prescriptions, give the patients the items, and then bill the government. See? So vague and ambiguous wording in the healthcare law led them to be exploited by a minority of people. Let me read you this quote from Brendan Brown. He's with the National Health Service Business Service Authority. He says, rules about entitlement to treatment could be complicated and hard to understand, and we recognize the genuine mistakes and confusion do happen. And we acknowledge that understanding eligibility can be more difficult for vulnerable people, and we are invested in effort to create extra support. End of quote. What do you think of that statement, Frank? I'm picking it apart, you know. Complicated system. People are confused. They understand mistakes are made. That, you know, misunderstanding your eligibility. Well, heck, you paid. Why aren't you eligible, right? They took it right out of your paycheck. All right. What can we learn from this, Frank? What can we learn? Well, all you guys out there, what is happening in the UK with their government-run healthcare system should educate Americans on what not to do. So the government in Britain has essentially an open checkbook garnishing worker pay, and have also medical treatment fraud collections on essentially an accusation. So the poorly written legislation on healthcare has really created these loopholes for a minority to exploit this system, which is kind of teetering on the edge of bankruptcy. So this is a perfect example of having all your eggs in one basket, and it puts everybody at risk. Now, I want you to consider, Frank, just for a minute, consider this. The population of the UK is 66 million, and the population of the United States is 327 million. Imagine a one-payer healthcare system in the United States run like that of the UK. It would be five times worse in the United States because, you know what? The government doesn't know how to run anything. They only know how to tax and spend. So here's a snapshot of how it would go down if we had something like this in the United States. We would have extremely long waits for appointments. The treatments would not be less expensive due to pay garnishment to cover the rising costs. Fraud would be worse than the Medicare and Medicaid physician scams. The disproportion of care costs for the elderly compared to the lack of new births would eventually collapse the system. And euthanasia would be implemented as a stop measure to avoid the collapse. Think about that. So based on some of the statements coming out of the England's National Health Service regarding the fraud, one wonders if the elite has this agenda for this system to purposely fail. Now, from the many phone conversations that I've had with the people in Britain, they have to buy a limited amount of natural alternative products outside the UK if they want it, because their country embraced the European Union's policy and all the natural medicine was drained right out of their country. So for the British to have what the people of America have with regard to herbal medicine, they have to personally import it with restrictions on the amount that they can get. They have to pay high duties and taxes when it does arrive. So Australia has the same problem. Talk to them as well. So don't let that happen to America. You know, you want to protect your ability to stay healthy and well with the things you want to use. Now, I want you to think ahead. Think ahead now. Because Americans need to think ahead. And they have to have something in place should the political tides shift and a government-run healthcare takes over. So every American should have a plan B to protect their health. Now, I encourage everyone to learn as much as possible using some natural foods, herbs, spices for their health and to stock product, because eventually it'll get to the point where you can't get it. Okay? Herbal tinctures have a 10-year shelf life if they're stored in an environmentally controlled area. Herb capsules, tablets, teas, and tonics, they'll have a 2 to 5 year shelf life. So if you're wanting to stock, call Apothecary Herbs, get their free catalog, look at their organic herb whole food formulas. They have stuff for colds and flu, pandemics, venomous bites, heart attacks, hypertension, diabetes, eye disease, depression, shingles, pain and inflammation, and lots more. So check them out. Give them a call. They have a toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Of course, you can visit their website, which is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Hey, and don't forget, tomorrow's the last day of their organic sale, and you'll save 20% on herbs or herb orders of $50 or more. And, of course, details are on the homepage, but you can call and ask if for the discount. You can also write the discount code on an order form if you get it postmarked by the 20th. And the code is ORGSAT and the number 19. So it stands for, it's a short for Organic Saturday 19. So check that out. Get your details down. Get it in the mail. Give them a call. Get on the website. Put that code in the shopping cart and save, especially now. Fall's here, everybody's got the sinus colds and stuff, Frank, you know? So, absolutely important to get what you need. You know what, Frank? I'm telling people to really take it seriously, you know, to get prepared, stock some things, because I'm seeing hiccups in the supply lines. I don't know if you're seeing it, but it's kind of hard. Yeah, Frank says, garlic, y'all stock some garlic. Absolutely great, poor man's antibiotic, can't go wrong with that. But, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes, you know, you can't get what you need, and what are you going to do? So I also see he says to grow it. It's easy. Yes, absolutely good thing to have in your garden, your herb garden, or any garden out there, some garlic. But, you know, and I'm seeing problems with the shipping and delivery where you can't get stuff sent to you, or you can't send stuff out. We're getting to that weird area where you can't get, you know, things don't flow like they used to. Terrible. Well, we're going to jump into our next topic. And, oh, yes. And if you do have a suggestion topic for the show, we got some the other day, Frank, so I'm excited to work some of those in. You can just drop us a line off the powerherbs.com website through the email or give us a call. And we'll try to work those topics into the show.
Absolutely.
So you can call the toll-free number at 866-229-3663 or visit the website, thepowerherbs.com, under Contact Us. Awesome. All right, we're going to be talking about euthanasia laws. They're up for review. And there's kind of been a shift in the attitude regarding euthanasia. It's not as taboo as it used to be. So this is kind of a global development, though. And parts of Europe have already started to change their policies and laws regarding euthanasia, you know, ending a person's life. And we are now seeing hospitals and lawmakers in Canada and also in the United States start to discuss changing the strict policies that are in existence regarding our laws on euthanasia. So what is fueling the urgency to change these laws governing euthanasia? What is ticking at this? You know, what's poking at the bear, if you will? Well, we've talked about this way back in 2014. Remember that, Frank? And then we touched up again on it in 2016. But the National Organ Transplantation Act, that thing's 30 years old. And it's restrictive when it comes to getting organs donated and for the purpose of transplanting them. So these things are the guidestones of our laws. And also, we have laws in place to protect people, protect patients from abuse and exploitation. So that's why they're there to begin with. But there's these discussions now by policymakers in such a way that they want to lift these restrictions and reshape the ethics surrounding euthanasia and organ transplants. So what this really is about is money. That's what it's about. There's not enough organs to transplant, and they want to harvest some, and they want to get around the restrictions, so they have plenty of product to install. Okay? I just said it because that's how I see it. So we're going to take a look at this. Everybody should be aware of this and be concerned. So let's look at the organ transplant field. Human organ transplants, they started in 1954. And then there were very strict laws in place. And they got tweaked all the way up through the 70s. So this area of scientific medicine is kind of feeling restricted. And they don't like the drop in available organs to transplant because there's not been as many automobile accidents that usually prompt that to happen. Oh, I can see by the clock we're going to take a break. On the other side, we got more, so don't go anywhere.
I rode my bicycle past your window last night. I roller skated to your door at daylight. It almost seems like you're avoiding me. I'm okay alone, but you got something I need. Well, I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. I think that we should get together and try them out to see.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, herb medicine options, coming up next.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
What that may mean for everybody. Well, you know, organ transplant surgeons and organ procurement agencies are kind of suffering as they don't have enough organ donors. And the list of patients waiting is growing. The patients that need new organs is growing. 5-year wait, you know? So the pressure is on to do something about that, as science is trying to create also artificial organs as an option. You know, just grow them in, you know, animals and harvest them and stuff. Now, the countries of Singapore and Australia now allow limited payments to live donors for their organs, sort of like, you know, a pay future, pay ahead policy. How would you like that, Frank? You know, I think the people in the UK may have to, you know, sell a kidney or two to get out of this, you know, fraudulent accusations of, you know, healthcare fraud. I know, I shouldn't make light of that, but it's so ridiculous, right? Let's look at the health insurance companies, because the health insurance industry may also benefit if laws are changed and medicine can euthanize patients in order to harvest their organs. Let me give you an example. A kidney transplant costs about $263,000, and it should extend a person's life of the patient about 20 years. Compared to kidney dialysis, over a 4 to 5 year period would cost the insurance company $350,000. So it's cheaper for their patient to get a kidney transplant, but where are they going to get the kidneys? Well, it is big money we're talking about. According to the National Foundation for Transplants, the cost of transplants vary per patient, the type of transplant you're getting, what insurance will pay, and where you're all having this done, what hospital, what state. Here's a list of the average, the ballpark cost of organ transplants in the United States. Now, these were estimates between 2011 and 14, so they're probably higher. Bone marrow transplant, anywhere from $360,000 to $800,000. Cornea, $25,000. Heart, $1 million. Intestines, $1.2 million. Kidney, $263,000. And your new organs work about 80 to 90% in function. Okay. Liver, $577,000. Lung transplant, $550,000 for one lung, but if you get a pair of lungs, it's $800,000. Pancreas, $290,000. Multi-organ transplant, let's say you need a few things in there, $1.7 million and up. So let's look at some of the additional money the drug companies make off of organ transplants. You have to go on these medications for the rest of your life to suppress your immune system because it's rejecting those organs. $3,000 right off the bat after you get a transplant. That's what your drugs cost you. You're going to be on four immune suppressant drugs, Sepset, Prograf, Myofortic, and Prednisone. So these medications can cost over $1,000 per prescription. Cellcept is over $1,000. Prograft is $1,300. Prednisone is $12 a month. And Myofortic is $806 a month. Well, let's look at the current law real quick. Let's get a little snapshot here. The current laws that are in place to prohibit patient preference or black market of organs to protect people from becoming victims of an industry that stands to make a lot of money on organ transplants. So the organ harvesting also has to be under strict protocols under the law that we have where patient or legal representatives must consent in writing to an organ donation and transplant. Now, Congress amended the National Organ Transplant Act in 1984, making it a crime if hospitals or anyone harvest human organs for the purpose of financial gain outside the laws and prohibiting paying cash for organs. So why would the medical system want to change the laws on organ transplants? Well, one reason is organ donors, after they die, could have family that legally block the harvesting of the organs. They don't agree. So everything comes to a screeching halt, and that's a problem. Well, let's look at legal consent. So in the United States, it has been established that hospitals must have informed consent from the patient, the donor, or their family before they harvest organs for transplantation. So informed consent is a legal declaration of the donor's wishes. However, there is this push to change that and call it implied consent. Now, some countries which have switched over to implied consent would be Argentina, Austria, Brazil, Chile, and Denmark. So switching to the implied consent is a plan to narrow the gap between supply and demand of human organs. So in the countries with implied consent, it means that after a person dies, their organs can be harvested. You know? Well, let's look at this report. The U.S. Health and Human Services, along with the U.S. Attorney General, have been encouraged to look at ways they can circumvent the National Organ Transplant Act and make way for a free marketplace to sell human organs. There's a lot of money to be made in the trafficking of human organs, and there's even more than enough patients currently waiting for these organs. So sick patients would mortgage their homes and sell everything they have for a second chance with good, healthy organs. So with diabetes kind of running rampant in the United States, the kidney transplant is the number one organ in demand. Now, if authorities are successful in establishing a legal free market for human organs, we would see healthy people willing to sell a kidney for major money. So the Medical Expense Association with the organ, there's a lot of prep work in harvesting and preparing an organ for transplant itself. According to transplantliving.org, the cost of a kidney transplant is currently $262,000, and if the laws were changed to allow healthy people to sell organs, the cost could, well, technically get out of hand. So therefore, the new strategies being developed would give physicians and lawyers in charge of the patient's estate the ability to donate organs, skipping the payment for the organ issue entirely, so that the medical area would get it for free. So this concept seems to be well received when it involves people with chronic illnesses, mental illnesses, the elderly. So we're kind of delving into an area where society is going to calculate a person's worth with regards to serving society. And if it's determined that your care would be too expensive, they're going to push for the option to euthanize you and then sell your organs to pay your hospital bill. Isn't that kind of creepy, Frank? I think it's creepy. I just think it's really, what is that Coma movie? Remember that Coma? Ugh. Well, change in the euthanasia laws and the organ donation laws will have ripple effects in other areas of life. For instance, will life insurance pay if medicine euthanizes a person and these people have a life insurance policy? Will it negate the life insurance policy? Think about it. How about, will estate attorneys influence family members to exercise their power to euthanize a person to prevent the estate from being drained of funds to pay medical care? Think about that. We come back to that sticky wicket of money, don't we? Each time. Well, here we need to remember this was Massachusetts Medical Society. They are kind of heavyweights in the Massachusetts area, and they're kind of bent on rescinding a lot of the restrictions on euthanasia laws. They're kind of working their way. In September 2018, they held this meeting, and they voted regarding euthanasia for the end-of-life care. Now, I want you to keep in mind, this is just their policy, and it's not legislative law. But this is the first step to pressure politicians to make changes to the current law. This is how this works. So Vermont's Medical Society has also... get this, has also taken this position. They passed what is called the Death with Dignity Bill back in 2013. And this allows physicians to prescribe the terminally ill some lethal doses of drugs to end their life. Now, California, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, D.C., they all kind of have similar laws. Montana allows euthanasia via their state Supreme Court. Here's a quote from the Massachusetts Medical Society, the heavyweight people. They say the society has rescinded its long-held opposition to doctor-assisted suicide and adopts a neutral engagement position. This is done to more effectively engage with lawmakers and the legislature to debate the legality of euthanasia in the state. So what we're witnessing then is this shift to drop a lot of the formal, the ethical positions on euthanasia and kind of push it in the direction, all sponsored, though, by greed. That's what it's pushed by. So medical insurance companies and other industries that stand to profit from euthanasia can utilize their lobbyists to help change these laws on euthanasia and organ transplants, you know, kind of like a two-bird, one-stone thing. So it's kind of really creepy. It's sort of like a, it's sort of like a death culture, in my opinion. We find that modern society enacting laws that prevent the beginning of life through abortion and now creating legal ways to cut life short through euthanasia. Now, in 2016, Medscape reported that 57% of the U.S. medical physicians think engaging in restrictions on euthanasia is a good thing. And in 2015, a Gallup poll survey of the general public showed that they were supported also by about 68%. So back then, the consensus was, I don't think we should do anything there to change the euthanasia laws. So an interesting quirk, though, is that the American College of Physicians is opposed to medically assisted euthanasia. So how long they're going to take that stand is a guess, due to the American Medical Association has ordered its Judicial Council of Ethical Affairs to look into making changes to their policy and laws with their physicians on euthanasia. Now, according to the New England Journal of Medicine, the rate of euthanasia in the United States from 2007 to 2013 went from 1.9% to 4.6%, and the percentage of granted requests was 76.8%. Now, in October of 2017, Cambridge University analyzed the cost of healthcare compared to euthanasia, and they found that for critically ill patients, it costs a fortune, and with very little benefit in return, to the cost of like $82,000 to $190,000, for each year that they're alive, you know. So, you know, again, we're getting to the point where, you know, your life's not worth that much. So we're just going to cut it off, see. Well, it's kind of chilling, really, the way they're talking about this. There was this article in 2018, in September of 18, the New England Journal of Medicine. They had this discussion on harvesting organs from euthanized patients. And it suggested that the harvesting may be best prior to death. Right? You know, that makes everybody stop and say, huh? What? You know, here's what they said. This is one of the professors, Ian Ball, along with Robert Sabal and Robert Trong. And this is what they said. There is an opinion of donating as many organs as possible and in the best condition as possible. The rules of harvesting after death could interfere with the ability to obtain organ procurement. In such cases, it may be preferred to procure the organs in the same way they are procured from brain dead patients, using general anesthesia for patient comfort. Doing so would require an amendment to the criminal code, making organ donation an accepted cause of death. Wow. Think about that. An accepted cause of death. Taking your organs and you die, that's acceptable. Frank, that's kind of creepy. I mean, doctors are promoting organ donation via euthanasia, not euthanasia and then organ donation. So this is where society is right now, talking this out, creating multiple ways to actually kill people legally and making it absolutely illegal. So do we really want to give doctors, lawyers, and other people in society permits to do that? So when such permits do bring financial gains, then society will be opening this door, promoting a big death culture that we've never seen before. Totally okay by society. It's justified because of the money. This is what the New England Journal of Medicine also said. The conventional doctrine that rests on the distinction between killing and letting die, that itself has no moral importance and is invalid. End of quote. Wow. Dr. Ryan Anderson, he's a euthanasia prevention expert, and he's part of a coalition. He says, physician-assisted suicide endangers the weak, corrupts medicine, compromises the family, violates human dignity and equality. Medicine is permitting tools for healing and is to be used for techniques for healing, not for killing. Euthanasia will most likely threaten the weak and the marginalized. End of quote. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know,
Let's say, you know, you're an average person, maybe middle class or maybe not even middle class, and you get in a trauma accident and you're in the hospital. They'll take your organs before they take a rich guy that was in an accident, for sure. So what Dr. Anderson is suggesting is that physician-assisted suicide or euthanasia is at risk of becoming non-voluntary, like some of the cases that are happening in the Netherlands. So in the Netherlands, the euthanasia has taken this dark turn to victimize non-voluntary patients like children, the demented, the mentally ill, the elderly, and others. So you're like a non-person. There's nothing you can do about it. You're not darkness. So legalized euthanasia and abortion have become really the ultimate betrayal in human dignity and God's laws. You see, you're stomping on God's territory here. He left dominion of man for himself. So you're like busting into God's house and taking stuff out. Uh-oh. Don't want to be you. Not want to stand next to you at the judgment, if that's what you're going to be doing. It's kind of like modern grave robbers, you know? It's, in our world of modern science, it's kind of becoming even more personal with the coming charges and changes in care with the euthanasia and the organ donation. Because I hate to say it, but there is really risk these days to being an organ donor, indicating that on your driver's license. You got a big target on you. So you come into the hospital and they see you're an organ donor, they'll make more money letting you die and harvesting your organs than they would saving your life. Think about it. I'm also aware of the instances where hospital employees wanting to get a written authorization for organ harvesting sometimes approach parents separately, hoping one would sign. All they need is one signature. They don't need the other parent's signature. And of course, you know, this could pit parents at each other, and this is terrible, but they don't care about that. It's obvious medicine has more of a focus on regards to organ procurement, harvesting, making money on the transplant, and if they don't need an informed consent, that's what they'll push for. So no written authorization if they didn't need that, and perhaps not even a pronouncement of death. Maybe they just gonna take your organs while you're still alive. That's what they'll do. If they can, that's what they'll do. So once blood flow and oxygen stop flowing through the tissues of the organs start to degrade. And of course, this is what the transplant doctors are saying. The organ's not prime. It's not primo material. And we want stuff that's fresh. Really fresh. Now, a decade ago, I wouldn't have thought I'd be talking about this. This is a serious problem where this is moving. Is there any level scientific medicine won't stoop to is what I'm asking myself. And it kind of reminds me of the Elizabethan times when science needed fresh corpses to learn how to do anatomy. And if there were no bodies that were donated to science, they would just dig them up. Take them from the cemetery. Yep. Yeah, I think that's where those alarms came out. You remember that, Frank, in Elizabethan time? People had all these patents they set in for grave alarms that they'd go off if you started digging on someone's grave to make a big loud sound and the grave robbers would run away. So grave alarms were patented back in the Elizabethan time. I don't know what we could do now. What alarm could we have, Frank? Right? I guess just, you know, be careful and I wouldn't have an organ donation on my license and stay out of the hospital as much as you can. Health is very personal and they're making it very impersonal these days. It's really essential. You need to guard yourself against even the subtle, most modern attack by medicine can put you at serious risk. And if a hospital is, if it's recommending family members to go ahead at, you know, I guess when you when you're admitted, to sign documents allowing procurement. Now, read carefully. Please read carefully. The devil's in the details. And even now with insurance, you have to watch with the type of insurance you have. You have to be admitted within a certain time frame. Or if you're not, when you are admitted, it's out of your pocket. The insurance won't pay. So you got to watch the details. Watch the details. Now, our Heavenly Father has given us medicinal herbs with great healing power in them. He's promised this. And it's a kind of healing power science won't be able to duplicate. Actually, science is trying to break down herbs, trying to figure out the healing mechanisms in them, and they can't get it right. Sort of like, you know, God's little patent secret. Well, herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. From Genesis to Revelation, he tells us this. So, if you've been putting off learning how to use herbs, you know, rolling up your sleeves and getting your feet wet there, getting some experience with them. It's not rocket science, but you do have to, it's a little bit of a learning curve, but it'll be just like brushing your teeth and tying your shoes. You'll get it. You'll actually know what herb you need to take when you start to feel a little off and under the weather. You'll know if it's a virus. You'll know if it's a bacteria. You'll just know. Okay? It's experience is what you're lacking. You got to go get the experience. So the folks at Apothecary Herbs like to hold your hand a little bit, educate you about the herbs that you're getting from them. So you get tools and instruction. Great combo. Got to have that plus product support. So the folks at Apothecary Herbs definitely committed to helping you learn how to empower yourself. And that's what it's about, taking the power back, being healthy and well, but empowering yourself. Who doesn't want to be empowered, right? So call them on the toll-free number and get their free catalog. If you want to go online, you can request the catalog on their website. You can even download it if you want to. But they'll send you a hard copy regardless. The number's toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's toll-free in the United States and Canada, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. It's where your healthcare options just became endless. You're taking control. It's amazing what you can do when you have the right tools, the information, God's promise. It's awesome stuff. And if you're on the website, don't forget, sign up for the free online newsletters. They're delivered by email each week. HealthQuest goes out on Friday. So tomorrow, if you want a HealthQuest, sign up for that. And the American Survival goes out on Tuesday, and they're free. But you have to have email in order to get them. Don't forget, the sale ends tomorrow at midnight Eastern time. So get 20% off your orders of $50 or more. Great time to stock up on cold and flu. Get those cleanses that you've been wanting to cleanse the system and save money. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.